Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, 2021, a year in review.
For a second, I thought you'd gotten the year wrong. And I'm like, that's understandable.
So yeah, and we'll look at some of the stuff coming up in 2022. Cool. Because that's the year we're in. So we'll only briefly look back at what was happening. So a couple of the things that happened last year, we started live streaming.
Yeah.
So previously we were recording and, you know, kind of editing things up, and it was coming out semi-regularly.
One of the benefits, I think, of doing like the half hour one, as someone who didn't have to edit it, I imagine it was quicker
great.
To edit just because there was less content. So
That was really nice as opposed to like a regular 90 minute, two hour episode where that would take me a couple of days to like really iron out all the bumps.
Yeah. But at the end of the first edition of Auto Red Hands, I was doing the editing and Chris had done that before me and it was not fucking fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a week ish or like, it felt like it was like 8 hours edit a 90 minute podcast.
Right,
I'm like, this is not worth it. This has become a job and it's not fun anymore.
So. Right. No, that's really true. And I think some people appreciated the quality.
The
ums and ahs are gone and, you know, no lip smacks or anything. But to get that, you really have to have, there has to be some sort of balance in and work and fun.
Yeah. And it was all work. Yeah. So props to people who can do long.
And it's usually a third party. Yeah. Like, it's never the people talking on a podcast are never cutting it up.
Oh, because you get sick of listening to yourself.
You're right.
Yeah. Even if you have a nice voice.
Right. Which we're still looking for one of those. Yeah.
You got a voice for radio. Oh, do I? Yeah. No, that came out wrong.
So, the episode 79 on March 5th last year was the first
episodes
time,
off.
Yeah. It was the first time that we did it. Yeah. First time that we live streamed. And I think this has gone good. It's much more interactive too. I like having the live chat and everything going on.
And having
patrons and members in the chat and then being able to answer questions and stuff after has made a big difference. And 2021 was also the year Dune actually happened. Remember, we were waiting. We were announcing 2 years ago.
Were we? My God.
The year of Dune. And the movie was delayed more than a year and everything.
Nope, I take it back. I've seen bits and pieces of it. Mm-hmm. Just like I said before, someone had a bootleg copy in the break room. I heard something where it kind of suddenly got yanked from theaters.
Really?
It was only like an anecdotal one person thing, but
it went back into theaters, I heard, or IMAX. It went back into IMAX, I think, because that's the best way to see it in the US, like in North America. I don't know here it had trouble because so much was coming out in Japan.
I didn't even know when it got released here.
Yeah, Eternals kind of knocked it out of the IMAX theaters here, so that really sucked because I think that's the best way to see it. So I had to see it standard, as big as I could find, but not IMAX.
I hadn't realized you'd seen it.
I had to sneak. It was a weird Thursday night or something. Ah. I had to sneak out. But I was really trying to get to the big, the big like laser GT IMAX, and that didn't happen. Mm. And then Eternals
knocked it out. Oh.
And we also discovered War Master.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that was a great thing.
Got a whole two games of it.
Right. But that was really nice. I mean, Warhammer Fantasy in a manageable, you know, kind of a more streamlined, like movement and everything is much easier to determine, and models are easier to get a hold of now because
I still haven't painted mine, but I think the compact size, where we were still playing on what, like a 3x3 4x4 size table, so not huge but manageable,
right.
We were playing 1,000 points, I think, and you could fit like the miniatures in like a shoebox.
Yeah, that was really nice. And with 3D printing, I had three armies in just a couple of weeks. That was amazing. Yeah,
I may hit you up for some dark elves soon.
Yeah.
If I do that right. I still haven't painted my wood elf army, right? But and that's the one thing, like painting, I'm just like, these are absolutely tiny. Like your suggestion, the magnifying glasses and washes, because you. Like, one blob is like, well, that is their entire face, right? Done.
Right.
But, yeah, also new respect for people who write those rule books, because War Master Revolutions, which is kind of like a cleaned-up fan version of the old War Master rules, not official in any way, even cleaned up, it's kind of a slog to get through the first time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a rule book where you read it where you're like, I don't know how you would better organize this because lots of things kind of depend on each other. But the first read through, I'm like,
Yeah.
Only when you play it and then kind of see all those like little edge cases, you're like, oh, I kind of get this now, right?
Yeah, so that helped a lot. Yeah, it is definitely something that once it's on the table, it starts to fall.
It's kind of like
place.
The old, I say old, where learning a role-playing game, for certain people, it's better to do it with someone who already knows it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, teach me how to play this game. And then I'll go and read the rules because I have some kind of grounding in reality, so to speak, about, oh, I see now how this works, right? Because there are lots of little edge cases, especially when those units contact and who can lap around.
Yes,
and
yes, like yes.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, definitely. Yeah, I was really surprised how I never suspected that like 15 millimeter would be such a great way to see big scale. And the way that it kind of, you know, they're saying, imagine this is a massive scale. Like this one rank doesn't represent just these, you know, five troops. It's, you know, thousands.
Huge. Yeah.
So I like that idea of increasing the scale.
I also did like how they kind of pointed out that, okay, missile weapons seem really weak compared to melee. It's because it's kind of representing the ground they control, and you're not going to cause a lot of wounds. You're just going to like kind of like push things around.
Right.
And that's what they're for. And once you go, oh, gotcha, then you kind of... Also, pro tip, don't slam your vampire bats into the most heavily armored unit on the opposing side. They will bounce off like one of those red rubber gym balls. You're like, boing, all right. That didn't work. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fun. That was fun though to learn the different like kind of unit synergies and like what you should do with this, because it's not completely clear. Like, you know, looking at the rules and looking at what some units do, it's not completely clear. But then when it's on the table, it's like, oh yeah,
bad choice.
I just need to attack and flee.
Yeah,
nice. And I
was going to say, you're playing against Skaven.
Yeah.
Them motherfuckers are scary. Because you just like clump everybody. I'm sorry. You clump everybody together around that screaming bell. And I'm like, that's like 20 stands of troops just rolling down the center of the field. What am I supposed to do against that?
Yeah, that's something I always wanted to do in the actual Warhammer Fantasy battles. And finally, I could do it.
On a miniature scale.
Giant Death Star of Skaven coming at you. Nice. And we also did some Frostgrave with printed with or no, actually mine were the dwarves. What you had?
Mine were the I feel very snooty. Were the official
The
North Star figure Osprey Games box sets.
Cool,
which are really cool, and I like them a lot. So
that's cool. Yeah, that's right. I had the Ralpartha Europe dwarves. Yeah, those. So that was fun. So yeah, no 3D printing there, but I think it's going to come up for monsters and things like the random monsters we're going to need to print.
I think Northstar Games has a decent selection metal of specialty soldiers and beasts and stuff that would pop up on the random tables.
Oh,
like
cool.
I've seen like the snow apes and the trolls and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not really a fan of metal miniatures that much anymore, and shipping in Japan is so they look awesome. I probably won't get any, but
And I saw that Northstar is also doing official miniatures for Silver Bayonet
and Stargrave.
Oh, that's right. Speaking of Stargrave, that was two of the things that happened last year as well. Sci-fi versions of two popular systems. So Frostgrave got Stargrave and Iron Sworn got Starforged. So two things that I think people wanted Stargrave immediately after Frostgrave, but then when it didn't come out and we looked for other things to replace, like Rogue Stars to replace it, then when it finally came out, we're like, oh, yeah, right. So some people went pretty crazy. I saw a lot of really great minis and sets and crashed ships and stuff that people did for Stargrave. But yeah, I'm still enjoying Frostgrave. So yeah, it'll take a bit.
I still want to try and look at and support Stargrave. Because I think the other game I want to play and try out is, I'm drawing a blank on it, Ghost Archipelago.
Oh, yes, yes.
The tropical pirate-themed counterpart to Frostgrave. It's supposedly set in the same universe. It's like Frostgrave is that Feldstaff north thing. Ghost Archipelago is kind of down south, and you've got those Heritors and their kind of pirate crew and kind of jungly snake men. I want to try all of those because just through release and just through playing games and development, I'm sure Ghost Archipelago was kind of a cleaned up version of Frostgrave, which Stargrave is kind of a cleaned up version of Ghost Archipelago. So what did the designer learn? How have things been streamlined? But I think Frostgrave second edition came out after Stargrave.
Yeah, it did.
So
Oh yeah, that's right. No, it did. Yeah, yeah. I think so. And I heard though that Stargrave did include some of the things that McCullough learned in Rangers of the
Shadow Deep.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a little bit of those elements, maybe helping the RPG kind of aspect of it, so that you know the things evolved differently.
I'm a little. I think I said this before. Compared to the Frostgrave miniatures that North Star Miniatures puts out, the Stargrave miniatures look amazing, are a bit boring.
Just because
it's like, here's your mercenary troopers, and I'm like, oh, kind of look. They're all kind of the space fatigues, right?
Yeah, right.
Like you don't just, I think, through the nature of the game, you don't get as much like variety through kind of like the wacky fantasy things of Frostgrave, which is a little bit disappointing. There's no reason you couldn't do it, but yeah.
Yeah, I've seen people push some stuff pretty well, like do some really interesting takes and, you know, kind of repurpose like old Rogue Trader minis. And there's a huge variety of sci-fi things from board games and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, even because there's enough. Even the dungeon crawler that Mantic did, that was a sci-fi version of it, has troops and stuff that would work perfectly for that. So a lot of people have come up with kind of unique characters. And because it's so open to what these look like, you know, what the characters look like and everything, there's no like set style to the universe.
There's probably like Frostgrave, I'm guessing there's kind of basic model types and you kind of can represent them however you want. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, looking forward to that. And I think that would be fun to do the evolution of things, to see how things evolved and how they changed.
Even also what's different. Like I talked before about how like kind of rules matter. I imagine that applies for war games, right? Like, does this just feel like a reskinned Frostgrave, or are there rules in here that definitely make it, oh yeah, this is definitely
for the
science fiction as opposed to fantasy? Yeah.
No, that's a good point. Very good. So what else? Oh, and the Mutant Chronicles fiction series started this year. So yeah, I just posted the third in the trilogy of the Capital stories. So Capital is finished, and their third story was pretty depressing. It didn't turn out well for them at the end, but that's for Patreon subscribers and YouTube members can get access to the audio versions of those. And sporadically, things will probably get unlocked while we continue, because it's already growing pretty huge.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple of hours soon of fiction, and there's still more. It's like I thought, okay, this is going to be a limited thing, but it just, you keep finding stuff. Every book, you know, every single like Warzone book, or they all have little fiction to kind of fill you in on the, you know, flesh out some of the things in the setting. So there's a lot of little stories and stuff. Really surprised.
Nice.
So yeah, so check that out if you haven't. So that join button below this video will get you there.
I don't know where it is. It's somewhere down there.
Somewhere. And if you're just listening to this, just you kind of got to have to go to a website.
Yeah.
So check out upturntable.com.
You got to go to one of those newfangled website things. Yeah.
Right. And we also had the fun of the new incarnation of TSR last year.
Various definitions of fun.
Right. And that spawned our As the Gygax Turns segment where, just drama. And I just saw an interview on another live stream with Luke Gygax. Okay. And he's talking about, you know, developing, like putting out modules and things for Gary Kahn and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it seems so reasonable and so into the hobby. What is going on? Is there some sibling rivalry that we don't know about?
Well.
It's very, yeah, and we talked, I talked about, so you missed on the solo cast. Ernest Gygax Jr. is now Gary Gygax Jr. He has eliminated the Ernie, so he's taking basically his father's name. And I don't know how his brother feels about that. So the Giantlands, there was a credit change on the covers of there. So it was saying with Gary Gygax Jr. So little piece of development.
Whatever you want to be called, that's fine. Cool. The only thing I know about Giantlands recently is I saw someone do like a flip through of like one of the books, and the line art looked nice, kind of old school, whatever. Single page running blocks of text. Like, bro, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, are you trying to mimic the old school style? Got it. Usability? Not so much,
right? No. Yeah, yeah.
So especially if it's like, attacks, attitude, alignment, like just emboldening stuff within the paragraph. You're like, you kind of broken that out. So,
whatever. Yeah, it may just be like they stuck with an old school aesthetic. And I wonder if that is like a turnoff and it is also maybe like, you know, in the layout of the book, you're doing a little gatekeeping because somebody that's only
played... I can't read this. Oh, SJW, get the fuck out of here.
No, but yeah, somebody that's only played 5e where things are like really broken out and stuff, they're going to look at that block of text and say, I can't.
Yeah. I can't, no. Mm. Maybe. If it was a design choice, well chosen. If it was just something you did, just design with intent, please.
Right. And towards the end of last year, we felt the embrace of the Embracer Group, right? So they started swallowing up not only video game companies, and it turns out, so they just got Dark Horse Comics, and I was looking at numbers, and they're getting close to like 100 companies, and they predicted, I forget the prediction, like 30 more in the next 3 years or something.
How do you predict that? I mean, you got like a magic an eight ball, or do you like these deals that are like we're already pretty sure this is going to happen?
Yeah, I think that's what they're looking at. They've got their eyes on different people, and they talk about, you know, we're just waiting for the synergy to work, and basically they're just trying to swallow up everything that has any sort of connection to, you know, just different pop culture entertainment. And I don't know, we're going to see, but you know, that's what China's been doing for a while, especially in the video game sphere. So we'll see what this actually ends up doing, and probably just, you know, pushing people's wages down making their work life miserable.
Like we always seem to talk about monopolies and stuff like that. But I suppose one of the benefits to this that I mentioned before was possible distribution networks.
Right.
And so, hey, maybe the Embracer Group is just like, okay, we own you, but go about business as normal. And because we want you to be successful, because we'll make money, so it's not altruistic, you now have access to these distribution networks, right? And since we have all these video game things on it, we can kind of get them out in bulk, shipping's going to be, or manufacturing is going to be, you know, all this stuff. That, I think, is the best case scenario.
Right. Because they were talking Asmodee. The thing I brought up last week was Asmodee, right before they were purchased by Embracer Group, bought Miniature Market.
Okay.
So Asmodee had an actual little investor presentation where they say, we're looking to become the Steam of board games.
Okay.
Where we've got, you know, development, production, distribution, all, you know, in one thing. And now Embracer Group has got that. So, and it just may be, and yeah, like you're saying, this may be a great thing, especially if it's EU-based. They're going to get localization in multiple languages. Like, things are going to be produced more efficiently.
Right. One would hope.
Yeah. Or they just want to control as many IPs as possible.
Worst case scenario, you get another, like, Disney.
Mm.
Right? Where it's like, nope, we own all this. We say what. I mean, it's there, so they can, but it's like we say what does and does not get made, and yeah.
So I'm curious that moving into, you know, comic book and board game, it's an odd and very different market from video games. So we'll see how that works. But the other thing that we did see last year in the spring was Warhammer Plus, the streaming platform from Games Workshop. And as of now, I don't think they've released an animation in about a month.
Really?
Yeah, it's really bizarre. So I think...
And it's a monthly subscription service.
Yes, it's a monthly, and there was supposed to be weekly. And then it was like almost weekly, and then it's like when we get to...
Oh, you mean release.
Yeah, releases. Yeah, it was supposed to be weekly releases. Every week you were supposed to see something new.
Right.
And they did that pretty well for a while, and I actually loved the Blood Angels series. The models were a little weird. The character design was a little weird. But the voice acting and everything, I mean, the story, the writing was great. The combat was kind of chaotic. You couldn't quite tell what the hell was going on.
It felt like a Michael Bay movie.
Right. But the story was really fun, and it really built. There were good reveals and stuff. So kind of like a soap opera, a Warhammer soap opera that I didn't know I wanted. You know, it was just like,
Warhammer 40,000 soap opera you didn't know you wanted.
It was pretty fun, but... that ran into production trouble. They stuttered and started doing that Netflix thing where they're like, we're going to do a show about our shows where we're talking about how cool our shows are. Mm. What did you think of that first episode? And it's just like making garbage, you know, just making really bizarre content because they didn't even have like celebrities or voice actors or anything. It was just the people that host the other stuff on the service were just like, that was a pretty good show, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a good show. People should watch that show. It's like, you're talking to subscribers. So kind of like what we do right here, right? But you're talking to subscribers. It's like, ugh, yeah. But we'll see. They keep saying, you know, things are going to improve, but if they can't manage the studios that are producing this stuff, and they're probably not paying them, you know, well enough, if the things have really slowed down like this,
they probably won't. And I don't know what legal things are going into it now, and because like you had talked before, like, we're sure whatever contracts like the creators had to sign, like you said, kind of may have killed off some enthusiasm for those fan things. And I understand someone or a company wanting to protect their IP. But this kind of sounds like it might be a situation of, we tried it, we kind of can't do it, let's not break those contracts, but let's end those contracts and let fan creators...
They could turn it back over?
Yeah. Like, I don't know what the legal things are here, right? If it's possible for them to do that, I think that might be the better choice, because as we discussed before, those fan projects were essentially free commercials for your company and for your product. And if you can't do it in-house, why not just go, okay, we tried, sorry. Mm. It's back over to you guys. Maybe compensate the people for their time, right? And then kind of go back to, please do whatever you want, because it's free commercials for us.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they will, but...
Yeah. I think they're probably seeing locking down their IP as more valuable. And so if this streaming service just completely fails, well, at least we've everybody that was doing stuff that was out of our control, it's all locked down. So then when we go to license something to somebody, you know, we don't have to say, well, yeah, there are people that are doing this like random stuff with this property or these characters, but ignore that.
Not being a owner of a big company, not having any kind of IP to hold on to our challenge. Like, I wonder if that really is a concern, because again, one way to look at it, it's free advertising, and people have to kind of realize the
only
difference.
Only certain companies see it that way, though.
I
think so. That is, if it is really difficult, because there are some companies that are like, yeah, this is great, and it was surprising. Like pre-Disney, Star Wars was really cool with fan stuff. They supported it.
How many Star Wars movies came out pre-Disney? Right. And they had books and stuff.
They had, you know, festivals of like the shorts and stuff online. So yeah, and like, you know, fan art contests and stuff. So there was a lot of stuff. So when you embrace that, I think it does kind of help the fan community. And then when you kind of, you know, lock down on it, it makes things weird. And the fact that they are incapable of managing this is very strange.
Well,
so I don't know.
Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? But like, GW may be fantastic at the logistics. Well, okay, that Curse City, whatever, is kind of shooting a hole in that. But like, at the logistics of manufacturing and producing miniatures. Don't mean you're going to be able to manage any kind of social media thing, right? Like, you're good at this thing you do. Maybe just focus on this thing you do instead of trying to. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. And the other development that happened, I guess it still counts as 2021, but they just announced for Warhammer 40K, they're going to do seasons.
I tweeted about that. Yeah, I kind of saw that.
That's taking the worst ideas from video games and bringing it into tabletop wargaming. That's just idiotic. I mean, what they really want to do is get the people that are into the hobby and are playing competitively on a grind so that they're just like, yeah, you are locked in. We're at least going to make $1,000 a year from you from all the shit you have to buy to compete.
Yep.
And so that's good. That's going to lose. I mean, I think people entering the hobby will look at that and say, what kind of crazy treadmill is this?
I wonder how many new people they have entering the hobby.
I think they did a good job. I think with 8th edition, they must have done a pretty good job, because there are some really staunch defenders of Games Workshop. Anytime you're saying anything negative, there's a lot of people that are defending it that aren't the crusty old, you know, original.
they're the uncrusty, not yet old defenders, right? But interesting, because I remember when Kill Team came out, I remember thinking like, great. I'm sure we discussed it too. Like, here's a great entry point for 40K, right? Like, those boxes are still kind of on the pricey side. As someone who bought two of them and decided I didn't really want to play and donated them to the studio, right? And it's like, okay, like $80 to $100. It's still an investment, right? But it's not army size investment. Right. And then Kill Team just kind of went.
Yeah, now it's just its own weird board game. It's not even like a... It's not even,
again, when they came out with another one, that could have been another jumping on point. Mm-hmm. And as someone who got out of Magic because of that rotation, when I saw Warhammer 40K was doing Seasons, my mind immediately went Magic. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Exactly what you said. I fear that you are trying to squeeze as much as you can out of the hardcore competitive players because, oh, next season, tiny tweak here. Oh, this whole section of my army ain't usable, so let's update it, right?
Yeah.
Which, best case scenario, or the kind of the altruistic version, you're using it to create kind of a like a living rule set. Wow, we did not expect that to happen. Nerf it in the next edition, or try and rebalance, and you can kind of fix stuff without having to do a new edition, right? This season, Bloodthirsters only have plus one attack on them, right? Or whatever, right? It allows them to adjust stuff, which, if you're going for a competitive miniatures game, even like a non-competitive miniatures game, you still kind of have to balance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What I suspect they're going to do is that, we got you now.
Yeah.
$500 for next year, please. Yeah.
So. Right. Yeah. It's just like people that buy the season passes for games, and you have no idea how much content is going to be released for a game, but you bought a year's worth of whatever it is for.
We got you.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty soon they'll just head to that thing everyone's doing. It's just a subscription model. You know, it's just like, yeah, you pay us, you know, $500 for this annual pass, and we'll just send you the models because they aren't worth anything anyhow.
You know, yeah. I wonder if that wouldn't be a horrible thing. Because when we were doing, think about it, when we were doing Netrunner, it wasn't necessarily like a season pass, but we were like, okay, we're pretty much all in for the packs.
Right.
And the packs were set. If that might actually work, right? If you're just like, okay, sorry, it's $500 a year. You're guaranteed to get every model we release this year.
Right.
And then that could work.
Yeah. I think they would have to structure it really well, which I'm not sure they're capable of doing. Yeah. Because there's already those weird magazine things that they came out. I think it was UK or maybe EU only. Where they went through basically the whole Dark Imperium set and broke it up into little magazines you got every month, and included paints and all the, so you got essentially the whole kit eventually, and little pieces of the rules and how to paint in each one of the magazine inserts. So they're playing around with kind of tying you up for some sort of subscription.
Well, in Japan, it's what that D'Agostini D'Agostini, where it's like, hey, you build that die cast Lamborghini, whatever.
Right.
And one little piece at a time that comes in a box. And sure, why not? If people want to do that.
So I think they're still experimenting with how to squeeze, just how desperate they can get. And I think you're right. Like, things like Magic have kind of figured it out.
Yep.
Keep people just locked in. Yeah, I'm a Magic player.
They got even fucking greedier with their secret lairs and loot drops and three different kinds of booster packs. And I'm sounding like a real old crab, huh?
Yeah, but Games Workshop does have that Hasbro exec in there giving them all those good ideas. So I'm sure that's where a lot of this is coming from. Let's look at. But last year, the pandemic canceled a bunch of conventions again. Yeah, we had online. Well, there was San Diego and... Did Gen Con? I think Gen Con just did everything online, but there was one that was like locals only kind of thing where they had a limited, I forget what they called it. Was it Gen Con? Yeah.
Maybe.
It may have been.
They were sending out the packs and stuff.
Yeah. And some people were physically there and then everyone else could just watch live streams and stuff. But it was very odd. How do you get on that list? How do you determine if you qualify to actually be there? But I think San Diego maybe was canceled, but so many things were canceled again, and they've slowly at the end of the year tried to have, I think they had the physical or the PAX
PAX Unplugged.
Yeah, yeah, Unplugged.
PAX Unplugged, yeah, which I was feeling kind of FOMO since that's in Philly, right? Oh, right. Philly, right? And it's like, nice. And I'm here, right? Home city. But it's kind of, with the rise of Omicron again, you're just like, how about you just don't?
Yeah, then there's still. I think it's got to be painful though, because if you're not locked into that space and everything, you could lose it, and you could and so many of those conventions have been strategically planned far enough away from other things, and Yeah, so it's going to be a while, I think, before that whole thing recovers. And people are still going to be cautious about going into big halls full of
hopefully, sweaty. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, man. Never underestimate nerds, right? But yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens coming up this year with the conventions. Things are still, kind of, I think, hit or miss. There's some smaller cons that have happened. But
I think Gen Con's scheduled for August 2022, because I saw something like, okay, Kickstarter kind of got lambasted for that blockchain nonsense, and Zine Quest 4 or 5, not in February.
Oh.
It's getting shifted to August to coincide with Gen Con.
Wow.
And as someone pointed out, like, that is the worst time to do, like, indie RPGs, because you're going to be flooded with Gen Con announcements, and the big companies are going to be doing stuff. So someone suspected it's like, let's kick those indies out since they put up the biggest stink about blockchain, probably.
Right. Oh, that's an interesting.
No proof of that. Right, that was the suggestion. And I'm kind of like, oh, possibly.
But that's a good way to shout over indie event. Wow. We also found Forbidden Psalm. That was actually released the previous year. Yeah, we still have to play. And the Kickstarter was fulfilled for the In the Footsteps of the Mad Wizard.
Ooh.
So I've got hardcovers of both of those books, and they're excellent. I mean, nice. and they specifically show you how to tie it in to the Mjölkborg RPG and everything. I mean, it's really thoughtfully done, excellent design, and the execution of like building your warband and everything is great,
because
they're all messed up. Everybody is, as messed up as possible. So I think that works really well, because you're basically, you can't min-max very well, because you're always rolling these flaws that it's like, oh, this is going to be my bruiser. Oh, he's got, missing arm or whatever. Yeah. So there's always going to be things that will make it fun and unpredictable to build warband. So yeah, we definitely have to try that. And with 3D printing, we've got access to all kinds of messed up demons and all kinds of stuff. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
Before I jumped off Games Workshop, their other amazing feat of 2021, they released a third edition of Age of Sigmar. So 2020, we got Warhammer 9th edition, and then we got Age of Sigmar 3rd edition. During lockdowns, shortages of staff at their warehouses and everything, they're able to do these full version releases. So.
Releasing something like that during lockdown doesn't seem like a bad idea, because people are going to be home with nothing to do.
Oh,
those people with no kids, right? And spaces to do stuff. But if it's like reduced staff, maybe it was already scheduled.
Yeah, it might have been.
And it's like, we're like,
because that stuff has to be so far out. No, that's true. It was probably already, they're like, well, if we pause this, we're going to get killed. Like, our sales are going to tank, and how
storage,
long are we going to, right? So we have to stay on schedule. And I think it worked out. I mean, I think they doubled down on people like wanting to distract themselves and wanting to dream of the days when they're going to put these miniatures that they're painting. Because people showed so many lockdown armies and stuff. I started painting this during lockdown and
lucky
finished.
SOBs.
Right? So, that was a funny strategy, but it worked. I mean, it really, their sales did really, or their stock, I don't know. We don't know their sales, but their stock did really well over lockdown. So we'll see if that, we know that's not continuing, because they've already took a pretty big hit recently. That's why I was getting into the hobby with my orc codex.
Because
they had a huge, huge drop in stock.
buy now, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's, from the hit that they're taking from having the Warhammer Plus was probably a huge investment in like infrastructure and everything, and they're paying salaries to all these hosts, and they're just it's not getting new
or
subscribers.
EU stuff, like Brexit stuff.
That too, I think, was a big stumble for them.
We talked about before. I wonder. Well, I mean, it's investment, but I wonder why, or setting up manufacturing places in other parts of the world would be an option now.
I don't know. The thing that I've heard is the Brexit created a lot of tariffs for things. Right. So there's like requirements for a certain percentage of things to be made domestically. Right. So they're going to tax the hell out of like a lot of, printed materials coming from China or whatever, if you're going to include it in something that's their new gimmick. I forget the wording, but they'll put the
mostly assembled.
They'll put the Union Jack on the books and everything yet. And then they're like, shipped or, whatever, like something that doesn't mean made in, in the UK, and it's all produced in China, and they're just
developed
like maybe the shrink wrapped in the UK. I don't know, but they still are putting, you know, just to be deceptive. If you just glance down, it's like, oh, there's the reassuring, you know, made in Great Britain.
Sticker I can peel off. Yeah,
right? So, or maybe that's just like a factory in China now uses the same flag. Oh, man. But, and the other fun thing that there's also more stuff coming in this year, but the Twilight 2000 fourth edition came out, and the One Ring also came out, but has not been fulfilled yet.
Oh,
so
really?
That's one that got screwed.
Do you know, digitally?
Digitally, I think. Okay. Yeah, I think everyone's gotten things. But Free League was very frustrated. And I think it was one of those distributors, one of those shipping game. I don't want to diss anybody that didn't make any mistakes. So I don't want to mention a wrong name. But one of those, they had a really frustrating, like just no communication from one of these logistics groups that was just like, we don't know. And then no word. Right. So they had nothing to tell the Kickstarter backers or anything. So yeah, One Ring is kind of tied up. But it looks beautiful when it finally arrives, if it's not all moldy and whatever happens to things in cargo containers.
Yeah,
right. Very Middle Earth. But so that was all the kind of major stuff that I was thinking of. Anything that stuck out for you that we didn't touch on?
No, I think that was pretty much everything. And I've tossed in my 2 cents about everything there. Yeah.
Right. So how about coming in 2022? So we have multiple Nexi, I think is the appropriate word. So virtual tabletops specifically for different platforms. So what do we have?
Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu. Vampire.
Vampire. So it was Vampire was one of them.
Vampire, Pathfinder.
Oh, that's what it was, Pathfinder.
And one more. Was it
Cthulhu? I thought it was Cthulhu.
Maybe it is. Yeah, yeah. So Demiplane is partnered with so many people to do these system setting specific asset
packs.
Digital tool sets, I think they're calling them digital tool sets. So we'll see how that goes because a lot of people have signed up and we don't really know how this is going to work, what it's going to cost, and all that good stuff.
Well, upside for them, pandemic is still continuing with no end in sight.
Yeah.
So
people are and people are getting used to the fact that we can do this online. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the better thing to get used to, that we can do this online now that we're stuck with the pandemic. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, I think maybe that helped a lot of reluctance or a lot of people that are like, I don't want to sit in front of a webcam. If it's the only way to game with friends, then people tried it. So that definitely.
Your choices are this or go crazy. Okay, I'll try it.
Right. And we've got the Blade Runner RPG coming out this year from Free League.
Which I'm mildly curious about.
Yeah.
Based on the strength of Free League.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And how they're going to handle, because it is going to be the Year Zero engine. So we'll see how they...
It's one of those things that kind of seems like a set and finished story or a very small
thing.
So that's why I'm just like, don't know how you do it. I'm willing to give you a try based on the strength of the other games. So
it'd be like, I'm suspecting it's going to feel a little bit like Alien in the fact that it's got these weird overlapping, like the two films that aren't particularly compatible that you're like, okay, I guess the storyline does kind of continue, but do you really want to play in the 2049 world? Nope. You kind of want the classic original cola flavor, but so they're going to run into that where both of those things are going to be in that book. Yeah. I think they'll have the license to everything. Blade Runner. So you're going to have, just like you were trying to include some of the Prometheus stuff in the Alien RPG. Right. You're going to have that. There's another corporation now. So are we going to play in this corporation era or does the original replicant manufacturer still exist? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess you'll just have to make those choices. So we'll see. We'll see how they handle that. But they did a good job with Alien. I really think there wasn't anything, weird or like, oh, I'm definitely cutting that out of any of those adventures. They were written well and incorporated things that I wouldn't have chosen, but worked fine.
Yeah, it worked real. Yeah. I like those.
And Pendragon 6th Edition is coming out. So that's what Chaosium has that. So, yeah, I was curious about that. That's kind of come up. We've talked a little bit about Pendragon when the Green Knight. When they made a specific movie for a movie, they made a specific little box set for the Green Knight. So, yeah, Pendragon 6 is getting a 6th Edition. Mothership 1st Edition, the actual physical release of that. Cyborg, the cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah, the cyberpunk New York Borg. Yep.
And the physical, it was delayed. It should have been out this year, but the physical books for Trophy should out this year. So yeah, we've had some, definitely some effects from the, you know, shipping pandemic and logistics problems from production. So things that we should have seen last year are, you know, eventually going to, got pushed back because of...
fingers crossed for 2022.
Yeah, yeah. So that's some good stuff to look forward to. That's some fun things and some things to actually, nice things to actually have in our hands next year or this year.
this year.
Yeah. I don't want to think about next year. Jeez.
It's going to be, pandemic 4.0. Yeah, really. We're up to... I forgot my Greek alphabet. I was trying to think of what variant. Sorry.
Oh, next variant is pi. So I don't know how that's going to
work. I think I might skip that one. There's just too many jokes.
Yeah, right.
Or it sounds kind of silly, yeah.
Yeah, I like they had to skip new because you'd say, the new variant. You mean, what, the new one? What's the new one called? It'll be like, who's on first of the pandemic? But so we'll see how this year turns out, and we will be here with you covering every step of the way,
live from the scene.
Every new Embracer Group conquest every piece
final
of...
transmission. Well, we have been embraced by the Embracer Group. We will be ceasing transmissions. Yeah,
that's right. If Embracer Group does want to consider buying us out, we'll shut our mouths and say exactly what they want us to say.
Like, I got no problem with selling out for a large enough sum, right? Yeah.
Yes.
At least be honest. That's one of those things. Like, if you actually do sell out, be honest and open about it. Be like, yep, it was money.
Yeah.
So long, chump. Right? Yeah. Don't be like, no, we're still going to be cool and friends. And family. Nope. It's like, we sold out. Yeah.
So we'll look forward to all the new fun tabletop events in this year.
Yeah.
But it was a much better year when I was looking back in retrospect. 2021 wasn't as bad as it felt.
Well, when you cut out all the filler.
Yeah, right.
It's like one of those episodes like, wow, this is a repeat episode. But you cut out all the filler. Wow, that was surprisingly it was good.
Rich in releases. Yes. Yeah, that's true. When it's the greatest hits, it was kind of...
This band does not suck at all. Yeah.
Nice. So in this new year, where can people find you?
Same place. It's Twitter, HiveMind, HYVEMYND, where I've been recently yelling, as usual. In addition to parenting stuff, I broke down and I have a couple boxes and sprues of Perry miniature 28mm historical stuff coming to Kit Bash and to turn up 28.
Oh, nice. Oh, excellent. Yeah. Oh, that'll be great. Yeah, that's another game. Yeah, we have to get on
I
the
feel
table.
Very traitorous. I've got American War of Independence Redcoats.
Really?
Yeah. Because I looked at them you're supposed to use historical miniatures, and one of the things is like, okay, basically you like chop off the torsos, and they have very awesome 3D print kind of like fully armored heads, because that's kind of the look, right? Mm-hmm. These kind of like shambling dudes in full armor. I don't know what I would do with all those torsos. Right? So I just went and I said, okay, which look the coolest, because I'm not going to armor them up. I'm just going to cover their faces with some kind of mask, because that's the thing for Turn Up 28. It's helmets on, visors down to minimize flush and also make them kind of spooky. Hey, they're out of date, but those like Franco-Prussian Prussians, the Pickle Halb hats, those look pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't want an army of kind of like those colonial kind of tricorn things?
Right.
Those.
Nice.
So it was purely hat selection.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I want at least like two armies. And those two boxes and a couple extra sprues got me like two armies.
Excellent.
So no idea when they're going to show up, but hopefully soon.
Wow. Oh, very cool. Yeah, that'll be some fun stuff to look
I'll
forward
show
to.
Us, turning them to the horrible root vegetable people.
Anyway. Right. So, cool. Oh, very cool.
So how about you?
And I still do a single panel gag cartoon that I produce twice a week, and I do a live stream for that. So if you want to watch the drawing of that, that's abusecartoons.com and then Abuse Cartoons on both YouTube and Twitch. Mm. And if you'd like to support us doing the weekly by becoming a weakling, please visit patreon.com/upturntable. And upturntable.com is basically where you can find everything that we do. The kind of premium audio version of this live stream goes onto the RSS feed for Patreon. So tune in there, and we do this every week, so
sirens included.
Yes, sirens included. The occasional ambulance and or fire truck.
Yeah.
So it's Japanese style, so
yeah,
perhaps a different rhythm than you're used to. Nice. But yeah, thank you for joining us, and we will be back next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.